Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief for this holiday week. Much has happened. Let's dive into it. But first, this episode is sponsored in part by Influx Data. Think of it like Amazon Timestream, except it actually exists rather than being vaporware for the past year and has paying customers. If you need a time series database, consider Influx Data. Check them out at influxdata.com. And my thanks to them for their continuing sponsorship of this ridiculous podcast. So what happened last week? Well, a few things. For starters, I was quoted in the New York Times last Sunday on a story about how AWS abuses its market position to drive open source companies out of business. It's a nuanced take, and I'm not saying that I agree with everything said in that article, but it is worth taking a look at. Now, what did AWS actually release? Well, Amazon AppStream 2.0 adds dual monitor support for browser-based streaming sessions. Now, dual monitor support is great and all, but personally, I'm holding out for free two-day shipping. Right now, we get that on most AWS services, except CloudFront. Amazon CloudWatch Contributor Insights for Amazon DynamoDB, in preview, is now available in 15 additional AWS regions. And the best part of announcements like this is that you can just tell that the service team was expecting to turn this into 15 different announcements to hit some metric, but nope, they only got one. Amazon Connect is now available in the Europe, London, AWS region. Note that they're calling it the Europe region, not the EU region as it was called pre-Brexit. Fascinating. Amazon Data Lifecycle Manager now enables automation of snapshot copy via policies instead of requiring you to remember to click a button all the time. Amazon EC2 Fleet now lets you preferentially use available capacity reservations. That's right, EC2 Fleet continues to erode its own value proposition of simplifying large-scale fleet management by adding yet more knobs and dials for you to worry about. Amazon EKS enables network access restrictions to Kubernetes cluster public endpoints. That's right, identity is the new network boundary, except when it comes to Kubernetes, which is actively enshrining some of the worst problems of yesteryear into modern best practices. Knock yourselves out, folks. Amazon Elastic Container Service launches a new CLI to launch and manage containerized applications easier. And I've got to say, I'm actively annoyed that I like this as much as I do. It makes Fargate way, way, way more accessible to those of us who haven't played with it before, and it's going to require some deeper exploration as soon as I find a containerized use case. Amazon ElastiCache for Redis now adds support for Redis 5.0.6 with additional stability and metering improvements. For more on this, we go live to the Redis Labs folks who are quietly grinding their teeth and forcing a smile. You know who's not angry and angsty about open source releases? That's right, once again, it's Chaos Search. Chaos Search is an Elasticsearch compatible API, but your data lives in your own S3 bucket, meaning A, it costs an awful lot less than the equivalent storage living on an EBS volume, or, heaven forbid, on Amazon's managed ElastiCache system. But more than just pure cost savings, you don't have the management overhead of playing around with the joy, terror, and active frustration that is Elasticsearch in all of its nasty incarnations. And of course, with Elastic the company trying its best to turn into Oracle and sue everything that holds still long enough, not using Elasticsearch at all, but still gaining the functionality seems tremendously compelling. For more on this, visit chaossearch.io and tell them that Corey sent you so they can roll their eyes and realize that yet someone else has heard this ridiculous story about them. My thanks to Chaos Search for their support. Amazon Lex announces support for conversation logs. What did we forget? Oh, that's right, logging. Some days you wonder exactly how these products broke free from the AWS lab in the first place. Amazon MQ introduces thoroughly optimized message brokers. Amazon MQ's instances are called brokers because if you leave them running and forget about them, you are suddenly a hell of a lot broker. Amazon MSK adds support for Apache Kafka version 2.3.1. But the upgrade process is really, Upgrading Kafka is annoying, but we really need a word that means having a nightmarishly complex, bizarre, or illogical quality. Amazon Neptune supports cross-region snapshot copying. Neptune, the giraffe database, is indeed a curious animal. It launched without a bunch of features that one would expect that are steadily getting cleaned up along the way with releases like this one. For instance, Neptune also originally launched without TLS encryption support. Remember, encrypt everything, unless it's hard. Amazon Personalize now supports contextual recommendations. This is a neat feature. Given certain contexts, you can influence recommendations that are generated. For example, you could present different content recommendations to folks depending upon what device or browser they're using. iPhone users could have Lightning accessories recommended. People using Brave's browser with that cryptocurrency thing built in could instead be offered timeshare investments because they already make very poor financial decisions, etc. Amazon's Route 53 Resolver endpoints for hybrid cloud now available in Europe. That's right, my favorite database's endpoint service expands. Resolver endpoints, for those of you who may have forgotten, are how you extend private zones to on-premise environments, among a few other things. You no longer need to expose your databases to the world as a direct result. Amazon SES now enables you to configure DKIM using your own RSA key pair. SES inches ever closer to being a laughable replacement for SendGrid instead of its previous state of being a complete non-starter. Amazon Textract is now PCI DSS certified and extracts even more data from tables and forms. So all of your printouts of credit card numbers can now be safely digitized and then left in an open S3 bucket for the internet's convenience. Amazon Transcribe now supports vocabulary filtering. This lets you replace words with asterisks in a transcription. AWS almost certainly applies this to marketing material and this podcast with a word list that contains the phrase multi-cloud. Amazon Transcribe now supports job queuing for batch workloads. No, not AWS batch. That's something else entirely. Why would I mention batch? Because halfway through reading this, I thought that's what we were going to be talking about. Good work, Amazon naming team. You continue to disappoint everybody. AWS Certificate Manager Private Certificate Authority now emits state change events. Meanwhile, the last week in AWS office dog, Ethel, who is a Chihuahua, emits unpleasant aromas, which is about as relevant to most folks' workflows as this release is. AWS Cloud9 is now available in 6 more regions and is frantically being renamed as a result to AWS Cloud15. AWS CloudFormation has updates for Amazon API Gateway, or API Gateway as they pronounce it, AWS Code Pipeline, Amazon S3, AWS IAM, Amazon ECS, Amazon RDS, Amazon Elasticsearch, AWS Lambda, and more, nailing this year's award for least descriptive update summary of 2019. AWS Code Pipeline now supports Atlassian Bitbucket Cloud in beta. I'm not so sure that supporting a third-place Git hosting service is going to move the needle overly much on Code Pipeline adoption, but what do I know? AWS Elastic Beanstalk launches the Windows Web Application Migration Assistant, which is awesome as far as releases go. It lets you migrate your workloads the hell out of Elastic Beanstalk. It doesn't? It only moves workloads into EBS? Oh dear me. AWS Global Accelerator now supports Amazon CloudWatch Metrics. The CloudWatch billing team rubs its hands together in miserly glee just in time for Christmas. AWS GroundStation is now available in the Europe Stockholm region. I'm sorry, but a regional expansion of a service that talks to satellites in orbit seems to be more than a little bizarre to me, but what do I know? GroundStation is Earth orbit as far as regions go, isn't it? AWS OpsWorks for configuration management now supports tagging and tag-based access control. Wait. Is AWS OpsWorks for configuration management now its formal title? Because if so, it's brand new. The documentation is stupendously unclear as to what the formal name is because I'm seeing references to both. Happy holidays to me. I get to spend 2 weeks figuring this one out. AWS Secrets Manager is now available in the AWS China Beijing region operated by Cynet and the AWS China Ninja region operated by NWCD. I'd like to point out that exactly 2/3 of the word in this title are the names of the Chinese regions. AWS Security Hub integrates with Amazon Detective, and yet the Amazon Detective is still only in preview. I'm just salty because I don't have access to it yet. AWS Security Hub also integrates with the AWS Firewall Manager. It's really bemusing at times to realize just how many AWS service releases distill down to, huzzah, one service can now talk to another service. The AWS Service Catalog supports deprecation of product versions as AWS steps into the ring to challenge Google on their home turf of deprecating things. The cloud wars just heated up, folks. AWS Systems Manager Automation now supports adding tags to your execution. We just destroyed all of production by mistake. Now lets you use tags to sign your name to your horrendous act, making it harder for a blameless postmortem to avoid blaming you. Systems Manager Automation now also supports targeting all instances in the account and region, because AWS has made it even easier to instantly destroy your entire fleet of instances completely by mistake. AWS WAF, or Web Application Firewall, improves request logging for context around matched rules, which is really disappointing for your InfoSec teams because their least favorite scavenger hunt is about to come to an end. It's no fun when your tool tells you exactly why it blocked a request in the logs. Amazon CloudFront adds 8 additional real-time metrics in Amazon CloudWatch. Last week, I mistakenly said that CloudFront's additional log metrics would spike your CloudWatch logs bill. CloudFront logs to S3. Thank you to eagle-eyed reader of the newsletter, Matthew Clark, for that correction. This week's enhancements by adding real-time metrics also correct the error by spiking your CloudWatch bill. The NoSQL Workbench for Amazon DynamoDB adds support for IAM roles and temporary security credentials. Wait, so you need to have this running in an EC2 instance instead of locally? It's supposed to be a client-side application, and I can't very well have an IAM role assigned to my laptop, at least not with that attitude, so there's got to be something I'm missing, but it's not clear what. New Amazon Coreto repositories and permanent URLs are now available. Amazon announces permanent URLs for downloading updates. Google deprecates their goo.gl URL shortener. Ouch. OTA updates via HTTPS. Now, that annoys the hell out of me because they lowercase the S in HTTPS. Did someone forget to tell Amazon that that is an acronym? It's not the plural of HTTP? Oops-a-doozy. Session Manager is now available directly from the Amazon EC2 console. Aha! They have begun the multi-stage process of changing Systems Manager Session Manager's terrible, terrible name. Alejandra lists her top 5 favorite reInvent launches of 2019, and it's a great set of recommendations that you should check out on the AWS news blog, even if she did completely snub my reInvent Expo Nature Walk. New, Amazon Comprehend Medical adds ontology linking. This is a feature enhancement appreciated by oncologists and ontologists alike. Collect and distribute high-resolution crypto market data with ECS, S3, Athena, Lambda, and AWS Data Exchange as AWS excitedly pivots into helping cryptocurrencies rip people off. And lastly, there was a blog post posted in a hurry after that New York Times article called Setting the Record Straight on AWS and Open Source, and talks about everything that article got wrong. The blog post also manages to name drop a whole bunch of partner companies that they've successfully bullied into saying that they don't see AWS as a threat. And that is what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Thank you for listening. Thank you as well to InfluxDB and Chaos Search for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. I will be back next week with something to tell you. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please let me know. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. If you've hated this podcast, I don't care. Please leave a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts and a funny comment. Thanks, and I'll talk to you next week.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.